Hey, this is Russ Dizdar. We are at May the 7th, 2010, 6 p.m. on a Friday evening. And I've got to tell you some things, four quick things right now. God's mission to the world. Listen, this is, regardless of the backgrounds we all come from, this is what it is. God's mission to the world is to reach the whole world, not willing that even one human being would perish. God's mission is to save. God's mission is to turn hearts and lives of, everyone from everywhere. As we see in the book of Acts, God summons all people everywhere. Even when believers in Christ are praying for the lost, praying for those who don't know God, we find out in Timothy 2 that this is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wills all men to be saved, all humanity. So listen, you got to understand, this is the mission of God. In all the world, there's all kinds of things going on. There's border wars, even in the United States. Greece is, disintegrating, and there's riots. There are threats in the Middle East of nuclear war and annihilating Israel and battles and fights. There are, there's the oil in the Gulf that is spreading. Listen, there's so many things going on. And so many things to come. Yes, we talk about the day of the great revolt or chaos in the world, the day of the Antichrist, the day of the abyss that will be opened, the day of Armageddon, and all the things that are going to lend itself. Conspiracy, yes. Plot, yes. Planning, yes. But four things I want to tell you in the beginning. God has a mission. And if you look again at John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 16, 17. Verse 17, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. So please understand that until the very end, God's action is mercy. He has chosen mercy. And so that mercy means that God is out seeking to save, to change lives, wanting every nation to believe on the Son of God and turn to God. So that's found again in Romans 16, 25, 26, 27. We find in the giving of Christ himself, we find very clearly that this is the mission of God, to save, not condemn. And so please understand that the person talking to you right now, that is the Spirit of God that is, you know, compelling me. And that is my heart. That is my heart. God's mission to the world is to save and not condemn. Let me tell you something else. Number two, God has passion. There is the fact that God so loved the world. There's a love going out into this world of hatred and violence and listen, we find a world of prejudice and battles and separation, and I look every day and watch the news and see this girl abducted, this mother abducted, this kid taken and killed right here in our own area. I got up this morning early to hear how right here in my backyard, a man gets angry with his wife. He shoots her 5 times. Let me tell you something. In the world, there's all kinds of passion, evil passion, rage. There's no question of the rise and ramping up of radical hating evil that is menacing the world. But let me tell you something. God has passion. There's a passion concerning the love of God. God so loved the world. Say it 5 times, 10 times today. God so loved the world. Is it a sinning world? Yes. Is it a bad world? Listen, I hear so many people talking about America and that deserves judgment. You're right. So does Russia. So does China. So does Germany. So does Finland. So does the world because of our sin, our decadence, our being in league with the devil himself. But God is a God of redemption. God is a God that has decided to bring redemption to the world. So I'm going to tell you right now that God is out to redeem the world. God is out to reach the world. And so in the midst of the call for judgment, we cannot forget what is God's mission. What is God's passion? And I'm going to tell you right now, God's passion. where there is not just the decision of God, the mission, but the emotion of God, the passion. And I'm going to tell you right now that that passion involves God's love for the world. God so loved a fallen, broken, disintegrating, degraded, decadent world. You read it in Romans 5, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Christ died for a sinning, broken, self-destructing world. That's what we need to understand today. God has passion. That passion will be found in believers all around the world. A passion that is a burden, a passion that brings us to tears, literally looking out over cities, looking out over fallen humanity, a compassion, looking at sheep without a shepherd, looking at those who are being deceived, looking at a world where God loves humanity so deep, so wide, so broad, that he would give a sin bearer to be on the cross, a substitute. Someone else that would take the judgment, someone else that would take the sin and bring a destruction to the power and the penalty of sin, that is the sinless Lamb of God. Do you remember the words of John the Baptist? Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. There is no phrase like that in the New Age movement, occultism, earth-based religions. There's no call or word like that in and among the remote viewers, those tapping into the Akashic Records. Not at all. Those are the words of one of the greatest people of God that ever lived. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world. That will include yours. God's passion, take away the sin, save an individual. Why? God so totally, absolutely loves the world. And that includes you. That includes you right now. Let me tell you something else. Number three, God's provision. I've mentioned this. And again, nowhere else in earth-based religions and in alienology, in occultism, in among the remote viewers, among millions of New Agers, where all the new spirituality is coming from and going to, nowhere are they going to make any beans about the cross. The cross, the wood between the worlds. The wood between the worlds. Where God in human flesh hung, sinless, dying for sin. Sinless, dying for your sin. All about conquering that sin. All about destroying its power. Its power over you, its power in you, and its power of penalty in the end. The wages of sin is death. There is a sin bearer. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And so, as you begin to think of the radical changes, catastrophic events, conspiracy that is occurring, when you begin to think of the ramping up of the dark side and the events that are occurring in the world now that are precursors, that will eventually bring an end to fallen human history at Armageddon. That day is already stamped in God's prophetic revelation. It's going to occur. But God has a mission, God's passion, and God's provision, Christ. He came for the world. Read John's Gospel, chapter 1. He's the light, the Phos, coming out of heaven, the eternal God, now in human flesh. Logos, always has been God, and now in human flesh. Coming into the world, a light for every single human being in the world. His death on the cross goes to humanity past, current, when it occurred, and all the way to the future, all the way to the day he returns. There will be a day when the doors are shut. There will be a day when the curtain is drawn and the offer of this amazing grace is absolutely over. And I pray to God that you have made your decision to bow your knee, receive the living Christ who died and shed his blood for you. He bore your sin. He bore your shame. He bore all of what you have done. And he also has the power to release you from eternal death. No one else could say, I am the resurrection and the life. If any man believe in me, though he die, yet shall he live. There's where he commanded Lazarus. He had authority and a power over death, over sin, over Satan, over disease, over nature, over creation. Creation listened to him. Creator in human flesh as redeemer of the world. This is the striking. The striking, amazing grace of God. And I pray as you, by this providence of God, will listen today. Whatever your background, whatever you know one thing, God loves you. God has set in motion in a fallen, broken, destructive world. He has set in motion a mission to reach you and bring you back. A passion, love, simply one thing, God's personal love for you. And then there is the provision. You take a look at the cross. You go ahead and look at it again and again and again and again. You could be like those that will deny the cross, occultists and others that will, you know, look there, atheists who have nothing. They pull their pockets out. They're empty. There's nothing. Absolutely nothing to tell their children, to tell their grandchildren, no hope to give to humanity, no sense of meaning, no sense of significance. Richard Dawkins is hopeless and has to offer the world nothing but blank, empty hopelessness. But Jesus Christ, coming out of the heavens into the world, you know what? His birth is a miracle. Conception, the genetics of God, the physics of God in human flesh. God would visit us. And please, please don't sit there and look at the dumbed down, de-deified versions where dark spirits have guided occult leaders. Matter of fact, you can look at Muhammad, you can look at occultists, you can look at New Agers all around, you can look at remote viewers. If you don't have the Spirit of God, if you have not received the revelation of the Spirit of God, but have accepted finite dark spirits guiding you, well, they're going to tell you the lie. They're going to tell you everything but the truth. That is their nature. That is their will. And you will never be brought into a personal relationship to God. The issues of your sin, your death, and hell will not be resolved. You're either living with your sin on your head, in your heart, with death and separation from God, eventual, and hell, and eternal separation as your ultimate end. There's no one else that has dealt with the barriers. There's no one else. Christ is the provision. Christ willingly gave his life at the cross. You read John's Gospel, chapter 10. You read there and see where he lays down his life by his own authority, that he willed to do the will of God. You read about it in Hebrews, chapters 1 and 2. You read about how God speaks to God. You read about the incredible, revelation of the infinite God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. The provision God with God the Son on the cross. Let me tell you a fourth thing before we get into anything else. Excuse me. There is simply this. God's mission. God's passion, and God's provision until the very end. Excuse me. Until the very end of history. Number four, Jesus Christ says in the Gospels that he will not return until the whole world hears the good news. Until every tribe, every people group, every single area in the entire world. It is a worldwide mission that involves every single tribe, nation, language. Wherever there is a different language spoken, that is God's agenda to get there, to unleash the message of God. We're not talking about a man-made religion. We're not talking about dark spirits guiding people to alternative spirituality that never leads them to God but only keeps them in the quest, searching and looking and searching and looking, preoccupied, distracted, but never, never able to acknowledge the truth or know God. Now listen, I've opened up tonight on this Friday, May 7, 2010, and there are some of you listening right now that may not even know my voice. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. We began this week, as we do each week now, with a topic. From Monday to Friday, the topic is fighting for the soul of the USA. In America today, there's all kinds of battlegrounds. But there is a dark, shadowy, deceptive agenda that is rising. That is rising to steal. It's found in political ideology. It's found in military vision. It's found in the counterfeit false religion and false spirituality that's developing. It's found across the United States. And it's all about getting the United States to submit ultimately to globalism in the last few years of world history. A globalism is coming that will bring the greatest destruction humanity has ever seen and will bring the pinnacle of satanic manifestation, literally Homo Satanus, Satan in human skin. And so when we talk about these things, and rightly so, let me tell you something. In the midst of all the talk, may it be that God literally is guiding and directing us to, well, to really know his presence and his power. And the mission that God has for the whole of the world. So I want to ask you tonight whether or not you know that in the midst of everything going on, there is a sovereign, unfading, powerful mission of God that is absolutely working in China and in Russia and in Brazil, in South America, South Africa, and right now in your hearing. The fact that God loves you, the fact that God is reaching out to you, the fact that God not only has the mission based on a passion, based on a provision unlike anything done in all of fallen human history. And it's not over until the very end when Jesus Christ returns. So I'm going to ask you tonight whether or not, because all of this week we're dealing with this issue of, well, very clearly, a fight, a battle for the life of any and every single individual, and then a fight for the entire nation. We've been saying all week long, quoting Romans 16, 25, 26, God, by the command of the eternal God, that all nations, God's will for America, turn to Christ. Can I tell you why? I'm going to give you some reasons why. That Jesus Christ and the cross is the hope of America. It's the hope of France and England and Germany and Finland and Russia and China and Brazil and Argentina and Kenya and all around the world. Because this hope that we are talking about involves God's ability to change a heart and life, God's ability to destroy the work of Satan, the work and results and penalties of sin, the ability of God to give the gift of eternal life, the reality that God is coming again in Christ to bring peace to the world, healing to the nations, and that there would be a singular rule in the world done by the Creator Redeemer, and that is coming in the return of Christ. Not in the return of some ancient aliens, not in the rise of Homo Satanus, a world teacher that is the masquerade and pinnacle of satanic destruction. You embrace the lie, you die with it. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So Monday night we talked about America when darkness reveals its head, dealing with Luciferic enthronement. Tuesday night we dealt with political ideology and the speeches and the laws. They reveal whom politicians and others are serving. And then Wednesday night we dealt with fierce prayer against political darkness and heaven striking back. And the reality that we can pray for revival, that we can pray for the nation. But I'm going to tell you right now, it's not enough to pray for the nation. God's agenda isn't just to sit back and pray. God's mission is evangelism. God's mission is reach the world. God's command is go into all the world, all the nations, to preach the good news to every creature. That is the mission of God. Prayer supports that. Prayer helps prepare the way. But it's what helps evangelism and actually can even help awaken the church, revive the church to the great mission of God. I'm going to tell you why evangelism is one of the greatest, it's an activity that is literally a hope for the nation, a hope for a city, for a neighborhood, for a school system, for an inner city. I would say that by God's providence, which means God's good arrangement to reach everyone, that even in Arabic countries right now, where many of you will hear this maybe live at some point, maybe also you're going to hear from the archives. And I'm going to say clearly that it is very, very important that we realize where God's, well, mission, passion, and provision. As a matter of fact, God promised to bless the mission of evangelism to the world with the Spirit of God's power, with sign and wonder. If you've ever taken the time to simply read Mark's Gospel 16:20, where it simply says the disciples went out everywhere. And they evangelized. That's the Greek word. They evangelized. And the Lord worked with them. Now listen carefully. The Lord Jesus, who died, rose from the dead, ascended, said he would come to live in them, promised that in the Great Commission, Matthew 28, Jesus Christ says before his death, he gave the words, the mission, to the early disciples, and then soon from there, literally, they were getting the mission. The death, the resurrection occurs. After that, Jesus gives the Great Commission. And in the Great Commission, before the ascension of Christ, let me tell you very clearly that all of heaven, all of the infinite God's, all of his presence, power, focus, activity is on one thing: reaching every man, woman, and child. If you're listening right now and you're not a believer in Christ, please know one thing. God utterly loves you. God seeks you. You're not listening by mistake, that the Spirit of God summons you to come home to Christ, to God. That the promise is you can come into direct personal relationship with God in coming to Christ. That all can be forgiven. That you can be literally cleansed and feel the power of that cleansing applied by the Spirit of God the moment you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and his Spirit coming into your life and the gift of eternal life and the promise of God's blessing, guidance, direction, the gift of indestructible immortality. Can I tell you what the hope of the world is? Christ, Christ, Christ. There is none like him. There is no one else that has done this. There is no other cross. There is no other infinite God in human flesh, sinless Savior that dies on a cross in a substitute for humanity. I mean, look at the claims. Look at the actions. And after Jesus gives the Great Commission to all disciples of Christ, go into all the world. After he tells us to make disciples, to baptize them, to teach them everything, Jesus Christ simply says, and I will be with you. Listen, I will be with you always. I will be with you always to the very end of the age. The end of days. There's the pledge. I'm going to tell you that after 35 years of being a part of God's mission, feeling his passion, knowing the provision, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That anyone, anywhere in the world, whether right now live or later in archives, you get a hold of this, and you don't know God, you're hearing about Christ, you believe that he died for you, that you believe that he rose from the dead, you believe, you really do, then call on the name of the living Christ to come right into your life. Receive him, accept him, turn to him, and let his spirit come into your life and rise up and follow him. And your life will be turned for eternity. Can I tell you tonight, this is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. And we'll deal with a lot of the topics, no question about it. Take a look at the materials, shatterthedarkness.net, the new series, Dark Rituals, Dark Powers. A course that we've used locally here and have trained many called Confronting the Powers. It's probably about 5 or 6 years old. We put it up on the web now. It's absolutely free for anybody that wants it. It's called Confronting the Powers by doing the Great Commission. The greatest way to confront conspiracy, the greatest way to confront dark powers, the greatest way to confront a falling, decadent nation, the best way to engage political ideology that is anti-God is evangelism. Taking the living Christ to every single human being in your neighborhood, in your family, in your city, to the politician. Listen, there's probably politicians that would listen. There's probably military individuals and recon individuals listening right now. And whatever we say about the end of the world, Armageddon, and everything else, which globalists don't want us to talk about. See, the ideology based on spiritual revelation coming from the dark side will guide those embracing globalism to try to nix anybody talking about the second coming of Christ, the end of the world, Armageddon. Satan wants to do a great cover-up. He wants to cover up reality. He wants to cover up the abyss, cover up the great destruction of humanity. The Bible predicts 1/3 of the human race perishing in less than 3 years. You go read about it, Revelation 9. And so when you read all these things, I guarantee you that the rise of Luciferic-induced globalism put out in political ideology, political action, military force to back it up, anywhere, everywhere in the world, I guarantee you they're going to be a great cover-up. The New Age spirituality wants to cover up the truth. And you got to make a decision. If you don't know Christ now, you think it's going to be easier down the road when deeper, darker, broader deception is here? If you're a believer in Jesus right now, do you think just sitting there, listening, and knowing all the facts, and knowing all kinds of deep things, but doing nothing? Jesus talked about the parable of the talents. He gave a talent to one guy, and that guy went off and buried it. Gave some talents to another guy, he went out and did something with it. gave some more talents to another guy. He went out and really used it and really produced and really made a lot more. The guy that made the most, well, the one that gave the talents commended him. The second one that did produce, he was commended. The one that took the talent, the valuable thing, and buried it. And buried it. Heavy duty, I mean, you go read about it. Heavy duty condemnation came. It was kind of the way Jesus in the telling of the parables was slapping the false religion of that day in the face. Taking the grace of God, the mercy of God, the presence and power of God, and literally burying. You can bury it in your heart. You can bury it in the midst of all your furious activities. You can be involved in texting, cell phone calls, research, reading the latest, listening to the news, doing all the stuff in life, and bury the most important, most powerful, central issue that God wants done. And that is reach every man, woman, and child for the sake of the gospel. A passion. God's mission is clear. As believers in Christ that are listening right now, either we are obedient to the great commission of God or we are not. And I know one thing, that those who yield to God, to Christ, seek to be clothed with the power of God to help you to be a witness, and then when you launch out and begin to do it, I know one thing, you'll grow wiser, more experiential, you'll begin to lead someone to Christ, another to Christ, another to Christ, and Acts 9:22 tells us that you will become more and more powerful. You will become more and more, literally, more and more powerful. You become more powerful in the doing of the will of God. And it is incredible, absolutely incredible, what could be happening in your life. I mean, all you got to do is read the book of Acts. Look at the believers who were Spirit-filled. Every one of them were involved in reaching the world for Christ. Every one of them that had the power of God on them were powerful prayer warriors, joyful worshipers, and committed soul winners. They didn't do it when they felt like it. They did it as an act of obedience. And in that act of obedience, the passion to do it grew. The fire to do it grew. The demonstration of the living Christ operative and working. Remember what I said, Mark 16:20? The disciples went out everywhere. They were evangelizing. And the Lord, the living Christ, the Lord worked with them. Remember what I said about the Great Commission? Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples, then baptize them, and then teach them. And then what did he say? And I will be with you to the end of the world, to the end of the age. And I'm going to tell you right now, that is experientially true. I can testify that that's the living truth. I can testify that wherever I've gone to do evangelism, on the streets, in a bar, in a crusade, wherever it may be, the Lord Jesus is working with those disciples that are out preaching the unequaled, unprecedented gospel, good news of the love of God, of the provision of God at the cross, of the desire of God, the will of God. Did you know? God is not willing that any perish, but that all come to repentance. Check it out, 2 Peter chapter 3. Did you know that it is as you're praying and seeking to reach the world, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wills all, pas anthropos, all humanity, to be saved God wants everyone saved. I don't care how ugly they act. I don't care how mean they are. I don't care if they're worshiping the devil. I don't care who they are, where they're at. I don't care if they're a politician, a military man, if they're into Santeria. I don't care what they're into. That's not the issue. The issue is God, the infinite God, who came here, gave his life on the cross for the redemption of every single human being on the face of the earth. You ever read 1 John chapter 2? That he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, but not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. That includes you right now. God provided for you the ability, the possibility of coming to know God personally right now is wide open. Right now. To be forgiven, to be indwelt by the Spirit of God, to be given the gift of indestructible immortality, and know that you know that you know that you're going to see God face to face. That can happen right now. Jesus gave the greatest invitation, John's Gospel, chapter 7. I tell you the truth, Jesus said. Anyone who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of their inmost being would flow rivers of living water. That was a reference to God the Holy Spirit. Read John 7 if you want to know the invitation of God. Listen, I don't care what you're into. I don't know what your background is. But either you know God personally, directly, or you don't. And I'm going to tell you right now that God wants you to know. God's will is for you to know. And so God has, by mission, designed it. By passion, caused it. By provision, opened the door for it. And he, God, will be operative until the very end of time, to the very end of everything. And I want you to know that right now, it is God's will, God's command, God's summoning of you, the listener, right now you, to come to the living Christ. Why wait any longer? Why sit back any longer? Don't sit in bitterness. Don't sit in anger. Don't sit in frustration. Don't sit in self-pity. Don't sit in hopelessness. The living Christ that broke the barrier of death and came to life again lives right now, lives in the midst of this message, his presence, his power. Can you not feel it? Do you not know it? Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ can be saved right now. And I'm going to talk to all those who are believers right now, believers in Christ. Believers in Christ. We've gone over the mission. It is God's, and he's given it to us now. We've gone over the passion. God so loved the world. And now he has put that love in us. And I really don't understand how believers... I don't understand how believers do not feel that love to reach the world. Compelled, Paul says. He's compelled. He is literally compelled, moved by the love of Christ to reach the world. I don't know about you. Maybe, listen, on Sunday morning, looking at the church, pastors listen with an average of about 58 seconds worth of prayer, almost none of it going for the salvation of the city, the salvation of the families and the neighborhoods and of the nation. It's an absolutely incredible lack on our part. When the most important thing that should happen, reaching everyone for Christ, God's mission. Every church should be lit up concerning the mission, packed with the passion of God to do it, joyfully unleashing the revelation of God's provision. There's power in the name of Christ to save anyone anywhere in the world, power in the name of Jesus Christ to heal, power in the name of Jesus Christ to kick out demonic presence until the end of the world, until the very end of the world. You look at the Great Commission and see how long Jesus is going to be operative with us. You look at what is spoken there, and you see nothing but this incredible. Listen, whatever you're a part of right now, I mean, there's people that can be a part of secret societies, little missions. Is it God's mission? You can be a part of a group. So you have God's mission. If you say, I'm a part of a local church, is God's mission all over it? If God's mission is all over it, then the passion, the love of God for the rest of the world will be all over it. And the realization and the centrality of the provision of God. And then there will be, no matter what occurs in the world, even when the Nazis rose, the World War, the second one begun, and millions and millions died, and cities were bombed and destroyed, the centrality of hope. Now listen, the old theologian out of the Netherlands, I believe, Berkauer, a little theological book that talked about the providence of God and the angst, the feeling of dread in the world. Is there a feeling of dread in the world? You better believe it. Is there dread over Europe, dread in America, dread around the world, dread down on the Gulf Coast, dread in among the Greeks right now? Dread? Is everything else collapsing? I'm going to tell you why right now. God's power, God's provision, God's saving ability, God's grace, God's mercy has not faded one ounce nor collapsed. God's waiting for some of you to get up. Don't wait on anybody else. Don't wait on anybody else. Quit giving any excuse and decide that you will be a part of the most powerful, the center of God's will, the center of God's mission, the front line, the first priority, evangelism. And when you back evangelism with fierce prayer and trust God for all the power and grace and might in the midst of it, listen, let me tell you something. You will be on a supernatural venture. You read the book of Acts. You read Acts chapter 8, Philip. You look how the Spirit of God guided him, told him, go stand over there. You look how an angel of God spoke to him, told him which direction. All that involved evangelism. You look how Philip ran to go witness. You look how Philip was sharing here, there. You look how he invaded a city that was decadently packed with the satanic powers and a satanic priest. You look how he took the gospel of grace and of God and the power of the kingdom right into that city. I'm going to tell you again that there is an enormous lack of this kind of fearless, consistent, persistent, power-packed, compassionate evangelism. That there is such a lack even in the United States that Christians are going to have to shake their heads and repent, step back and say, what have I been doing with my life? With the talents that God has given me, with the grace and the mercy and the power and the name of Jesus Christ, what have I done? What have I done? I wonder at the end of history and the beginning of eternity, if it were permissible, I don't think it will be, if you went to the edge of heaven, per se, and looked down into the lake of fire, hell, whatever you want to call it at that time, will we have any regret? Will we say that we have fought for the souls of humanity more than we've fought for anything else in our lives? Can I say it again? That we have fought for the souls of humanity more than we have fought for anything else in all of our lives. Do you have any passion for the lost? Any burden for the lost? any burden for your nation. Because God's will is for America, for Canada, for Australia, for China, for Russia, for England, for Germany, for Finland, for Brazil, for Barbados, for Japan, to turn to Christ and believe in Him and obey God. Look at again, Romans 16, 25, 26. Look at the Great Commission that gives the exact command of God to the body of Christ to go to all the nations of the entire world. If we're not doing that, we're not obeying God. And most likely we are not saturated, moved by the passionate love of God for humanity. I mean, God so loved, He so totally loved you and all of humanity that He literally gave His life on the cross. The provision, unparalleled. I challenge the remote viewers, the alienologists, the nihilists, the existentialists, the hedonists, the humanists, the atheist, the agnostic. I challenge the communist, the New Ager, the occultist, and the Luciferian. I challenge you to find something bigger and broader and wider and deeper than the cross of Christ and Christ who died there. And all that occurred, the wood between the worlds, 300 prophetic utterances prior about God coming in human flesh, about the life of Christ, about the suffering servant, about the cross. Angels attested to the deity of Christ, the saving provision of Christ. Demons feared and shook. Satan tried to kill him or dissuade him. Rome tried to stamp out Christendom, and Rome was stamped out. The church, no matter what condition it is around the world, I'm going to tell you right now, because of the divine origin and biblical revelation, shows that it's indestructible. Look at China. Vast, deep, broad, wide persecution. The church has grown there probably doubles the size, or even more, triples the size of the body of Christ here in America. In the land where there's greater freedom, the danger of apathy, the danger of that Laodicean, self-centered, self-promoting, powerless demonstration of Christianity is here. But I'm going to tell you right now, as a believer, every believer that wants to stand up, take up the cross, deny self and follow Christ, yield to God and be reclothed, clothed with the Spirit of God, and surrendered completely and totally to do the Great Commission, and stepping out and beginning to do it. I don't care. If you do it for a couple of weeks and you don't do well, keep doing it. I guarantee you this. If you step out to do evangelism the biblical way, look at the book of Acts. Jesus Christ will be operative in you, on you, beside you, with you, and in all the activities of evangelism. Ultimately, you will bear some fruit. You'll be sharpened and you'll bear even more. You'll become more and more powerful. Acts 9:22. And you will see lives and families change. And it's very possible that if you include praying for an entire city, an area, and even a nation, to be struck by the power of God, as in the past, with great revivals. England knows this. America knows this. You know, Europe knows this in the past, when God struck and millions were swept into the kingdom of God in short amount of time. Those days are not over. They're just not being fought for, prayed for, sought. See, it all depends on what you as a believer believes. If you believe it's over, you can sit down in your basement sucking your thumb, shaking, hoping that nobody comes and gets you. Or you can step out right now and yield to the God of heaven, to Christ, your Savior and your Lord, and say, you know what? I give my life. I give my life back to God. I give my life and lay my life into the hands of God. Lord Jesus, use my life. I surrender to you. Yes, it seems as all hell is coming, and that the worst of catastrophe, the worst of deceit, the worst of demonic presence, the worst of political darkness, then shine all the brighter, dear believer in Christ. Then let the hope eternal shine all the brighter, dear believer in Christ. Are we really going to sit back and bury the talent? Aid and abet Satan's developments? You know, when churches and Christians do nothing, you give a free rein. You know, if the cops in a local city and they have serial murderers, serial rapists, thieves, and drug, if they sat back and said, you know what, we're not going to do anything. We're not going out to patrol. We're not going to answer any calls. We're going to just sit here, lock ourselves into the police station. And little by little by little, the ones dedicated to evil will know this. And little by little by little, the city will be taken over in anarchy. And the absolute apathy and selfish self-preservation of the cops then would only be aiding and abetting the rampant rise of evil. Those that get raped, those that get killed, those that get drugs sold to their kids. See, cops are ordained by God to bear the sword and the evildoer to stop that kind of stuff. Let me tell you what, as a believer in Christ, you've been ordained by God to be a soul-winning witness of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine Jesus standing before the disciples saying, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses." He talks about immediately right there into the next, like a ring, like a rock thrown into the water where it builds rings. You reach people and you go further and further and further. Let me tell you something. You give your life to evangelism, to Christ, not only will you see the absolute experiential faithfulness of Christ, not only will you see the triumphant compassion of God, people getting saved, people getting healed, people getting delivered from demonic presence, lives being changed, but the possibilities of infecting your entire, you know, area, city, and helping to strike your nation with the grace of God. I want to tell you one thing about Saul of Tarsus. If you're new to the show tonight, if you're new to the archives and you're listening, let me tell you, this is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. Let me also tell you right now that this is all about you getting to know God personally, for every believer listening to know not only God's love and privilege in your life, but to take up the cross and do the mission. Saul of Tarsus, six things in 3 minutes. Number one, he was absolutely lost, separated from God, completely hell-bound and in his sins. And he couldn't change that on his own. Number two, he was literally, well, he had embraced man-made religion. He embraced religion in the sense where they exchanged the glory of God for a lie. They didn't submit to God's will. They exchanged it and made up their own religion. It was a religion of works, a religion of, legalism, if you want to say it that way. but a so-called religion where Jesus in Matthew 23 levels false man-made religion, calling it what it is, the blind leading the blind. Those living in false spirituality, false religion, they're not saved themselves. They don't know God themselves. And they can't lead anyone to God. Jesus likened it to someone, an open grave. The idea of an open grave where people just walk by and fall right into the grave. Man-made religion does nothing for anyone, but blinds them all the more. Number three, that man-made religion gave an angry, well, a passion different than the love of God. This was a passion to harm believers in Christ. This was a passion to fight against God. This was a passion to persecute. Listen, if there is anyone listening to me in any land right now in the world that is coming against believers, be it Satanist, Luciferian, someone else politically, even a Muslim, that says, well, let me tell you something. Deep, angry hate that involves chasing down people who believe in Jesus, harming them, killing them, putting them in jail, is declared persecution against Christ himself. And that's what Saul of Tarsus was doing with his man-made spirituality religion. Number four, that in the midst of his lostness, man-made religion, and passion to go against God's will, I believe because of the prayers, you can read about this in the book of Acts, chapters 6, 7, 8, and specifically chapter 9, when this angry, Christ-hating, church-persecuting man was encountered by the living Christ, the very one he fought against. I mean, you read about this incredible encounter of the living Christ. Paul, you know, Saul of Tarsus falls to his knees, cries out, and ultimately is saved. Saved. Christ comes into his life. He turns to Christ. Number five, he's totally, utterly changed. Number six, he begins reaching the world for Christ. He gives his life to reach the rest of the world for Jesus Christ. Listen now, this is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. I want to welcome you every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 6 and Tuesdays at 7. We invite you to check out the website, shatterthedarkness.net. If you don't know Christ, please come to Christ. If you do, please give your life to reach the world. God bless you and good night.